The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Rolene Marks, good afternoon to you.
Well, good afternoon to you too, Simon MC.
Now that I've got a smile on my face, talk to me about Miss South Africa. I'm very confused. Is she taking part? Is she not taking part in Miss World in Israel?
Yes, the Miss South Africa, Lalela Mswane, will represent South Africa at the Miss Universe competition, which will be held next month in Eilat on December the 13th. And this is contrary to some statements put out by BDS. The official statement from the Miss SA organization says that, amongst many things, is her refusal to bow down to pressure to look a certain way. Okay, that was Zozi Bini Tunzi. Anyone who wants to rob Lalela of her moment in the spotlight is unkind and short-sighted. She is the shining beacon for young women everywhere, showing them that being beautiful while being clever and educated is very possible. Also, what I found very interesting is that in the statement from the Miss South Africa organization, it says that with all the misinformation and fake news around, Miss South Africa is thrilled to be able to make Lalela's childhood dream to wear the crown while representing her country globally come true. Mswane has spoken out openly about being bullied as a child. She will not be bullied as an adult against fulfilling her ambition. And just a reminder that the Miss Universe pageant is not a political organization, and this is not a politically inspired event. So I guess it's sucks to be a BDS person right now, because they've been basically accused of bullying, which is what they are known for. And also, in my opinion, as a woman, I just see a very, very high level of misogyny from people like Mandla Mandela, who thinks it's in his remit to tell young, empowered women what they should be doing with their lives.
So I tell you who agrees with you. I don't know her name, but the ex-Miss Iraq.
Her name is Sarah Idan, and she most certainly agrees, and she would have more experience being a beauty queen than I have. Me only placing like 9,012 in Miss Pairs when I was 4 years old.
Oh, come on, Rodney.
Not kidding. No, but in all seriousness, Sarah Idan says, you know, this is an opportunity, and she's living proof of that, because she represented her country, Iraq, in Miss Universe and became firm friends with Miss Israel. And she herself was subject to a great amount of bullying and some horrendous, horrendous comments. And she says, first of all, it's not the place for people like Mandla Mandela to tell young women what to do. She says also, this is an opportunity for Miss South Africa and all of the contestants to see the situation for themselves and make their own decisions, which is what we expect from intelligent, empowered women. She was the subject of some horrendous, horrendous online abuse for her courage to come out on social media and speak on behalf of the contestants. I know that when I had my interaction with Mr. Mandela on ECNA, he spoke about Greece pulling out and Malaysia pulling out. Well, that is also patently untrue. Malaysia have pulled out, but because of COVID, the Miss Malaysia organization really put out a statement saying that they're not pulling out for any other reason except for COVID-19. And I think that Greece, who have yet to comment whether they're in or out, I think if Greece could trust their air force to train with our air force and other international air forces, I think they would allow for their reigning beauty queen to compete in a pageant. And, you know, despite what we may or may not think about beauty pageants and if they're relevant today, they do provide an incredible platform for these young women to do great humanitarian work. And we mustn't lose sight of that.
Ro, can I ask you to speak about Kristallnacht? It's only that it was pointed out to me that tonight is the anniversary. We haven't discussed it in any detail. You are my source for Kristallnacht issues today.
Well, it's very, very important that we talk about Kristallnacht, because it's not just about respecting and perpetuating memory. I think as we look around the world, especially this year, where we've seen astronomic rises in anti-Semitism may be particularly painful for so many, we have to ask ourselves the important question, are we doing enough to educate and to combat hate in all its forms and to ensure what started with words, we must never forget that, the Shoah, the destruction of over two-thirds of European Jewry did not start with gas chambers and death marches and crematoria. It started with words. And Kristallnacht, which we mark today and tomorrow, took place 83 years ago, known as the Night of Broken Glass. This is where it gets its name, Kristallnacht, because of the glass lying in the streets after thousands of synagogues, Jewish businesses, Jewish homes were looted, destroyed, burnt to the ground, and the Jews forced to pay for those damages. We also can't forget that over 30,000 Jewish men were arrested, rounded up, and sent to concentration camps. This was the precursor to the Shoah, yeah. to the final yeah. solution, and took place across Germany, Austria, and the Sudetenland. And, you know, the pictures today are still absolutely shattering of burnt synagogues, of decimated Torah scrolls. When we hear the testimony of Jewish women who were raped, 91 Jews who were killed, many committed suicide while their neighbors participated or looked on. And we really have to commit, as we do every time, especially as time is running out, to education, to remembrance, and to teaching that this cannot happen again. Today, those sites of calling for boycotts look all too familiar, and we are reminded, and I'm talking to you, BDS, of what calling for boycotts starts off looking like and what it could potentially end up being.
You know, as you're speaking, Rolina, I'm thinking of the words never again, how we repeat them with such conviction. And yes, I wonder to what extent they're actually meaningless, because who would have thought that I read an article all of yesterday talking about 12 Jews having been killed in France since I don't know when, purely for being Jewish. I think back to those, that footage of Jews cowering in synagogues where the mob was after them. And this was just 2-3 years ago. Europe is in a bad place vis-a-vis Jews and Israel.
It's not just Europe. We have to look at the United States, where just, I think last week we commemorated 3 years since the Tree of Life synagogue massacre, the worst massacre against Jews in the history of the United States. We only have to look around the world to see what is happening to Jews around the world. That horrendous footage of convoys through the streets of London calling for Jewish women to be raped. Language we are seeing on social media, which of course has compounded the anti-Semitism. We see it all around the world today. We cannot think that this was an isolated moment in history and that it only happened in Europe. This is happening all around the world. We cannot be silent. We cannot allow for this to be done to us and other people. Other communities who are targeted for hate, and we ask our allies, please to be vocal.
Raylene, is this an important day in Israel? Is it acknowledged in any manner?
It's a very important day in Israel. You know, Israel is a country that doesn't take any commemoration of any event during the Shoah lightly. We commemorated Babi Yar. It really disturbed me to hear that many people didn't know about Babi Yar. And tonight, tomorrow, the walls of the old city will be lit up in commemoration of Kristallnacht, images, testimony, etc. It's something that this country is absolutely committed to, especially as time marches on and we lose our precious eyewitnesses.
Rolene, thank you for that really hugely important input today. It didn't feel right to talk about the other issues. We'll carry them over and chat about them tomorrow. But thank you from the bottom of my heart for your contribution today.
It's my pleasure.